Pesach, Emes Hashem. Fourth day of Pesach is the Yortzeit of Rabbi Aaron HaGodol from Karlim. Not to be confused with his grandson, the Beis Aaron from Karlim. But of course, the whole Geza, the Shtalshalus of that Chassidus, Karl and Stolen, comes from Rabbi Aaron HaGodol. With the Nigin Ka'echsaif, get to that Emes Hashem. Talmud Muvok of the Magid from Ezrich. And I say Talmud Muvok because the Tzaddikim said that although that generation was literally a Dor Deya, Rav Elimelech was a Talmud from the Magid, Reb Zusha, Kedusha Slevi, the Balatanya, but those Tzaddikim were Meyid, and that the greatest Talmidim of the Magid from Ezrich was Rav Menachem Mendel from Vitebsk, we spoke about, and Rav Aaron HaGodol. Rav Aaron HaGodol, in his lifetime, the Tzaddikim said Peh Malei that he was Makariv 80,000 Yidden. And the Tzaddikim said, not that he was Makariv 80,000 Rishayim to be Beninim or Beninim to be Tzaddikim, he was Makariv 80,000 Rishayim Gemurim to be Tzaddikim Gemurim. All that in just 36 years of life. That's how much. He was nifted at the age of 36. The Tzaddikim said about him that he was nisraf me'imas habayre, that he was consumed, he was burnt alive by the pachad of his Yerushalayim, which he had for the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. When they asked him, so what is it that you learned from the Magid? So he says, lo lamadati klum. We said it in Yiddish. We said, I didn't learn anything. He says, which meant really, I learned klum, loy klum, that you're nothing. That's what I learned from the Magid. And in fact, on his matzeva, he requested and he had ordered that instead of writing his name, they should just say, Kan Nikvar Ploni Ben Ploni, the son of Plonis. Didn't say his name, doesn't say his, mamish nothing. It just says just vague details that could be anybody, fill in the blank. He called himself Ploni. That's what it says on his matzeva. And he said that anybody who wants to say anything about him is allowed to, but only Gnai. You can't say anything positive about him. And even if you're going to say Gnai, you have to be very exact, because in the Beis and Shamal, they're very careful about what you say. So if you want to speak anything negative about me, you have to be very precise. And he asked that anybody who wants to do a taiva for him should learn Divrei Agadata every single day in his merit, because I don't even know, he said, if I'm going to be out of the Gehenna within the first year. That's what he said about himself. Such a shifla, such a... In fact, the Tzaddikim said that when he came up to the Gan Eden, came up to the Beis Shamala, so they told him, you know, that he has a place on high in the Gan Eden, and he looked up there and he says, that's not for me. I don't deserve to go to the Gan Eden. And the Beis Shamala was chepering him, and they were saying, you need to go, we've paskin, you need to go. And he says, no, it's not for me, I'm not going there. And all of a sudden there was a baskel which came out, and it said, Aaron, going to the Gan Eden. He says, after Rav Shalom says I'm going to the Gan Eden, then it's a mitzvah, and I have to go, it's a mitzvah. So I'll do the mitzvah, I'll do. But until the Rav Shalom said it, then he wasn't going to go. When he was young, they called him Aaron the Meshugana. How did he earn such a title? Because there were three things which he did which earned him this title. He says, once he was looking for a tree to make Birchas Ilanos, which is dew, and he couldn't find one, so he jumped into the yard of the parrots. Yeah. Or it was a koimer, some type of a galach. And he was, when the galach saw that he was in his field, so he came running after him. And he jumped the fence to get over there, and he, after he made the bracha, he jumped the fence back and he was running. And he said that as he was running, his yarmulke fell off. So he wouldn't go without a yarmulke, of course, but he had to run. So he took his shirt and he pulled it over his head, and like that he ran into the forest to get away from the galach. Another occasion, he needed a mikvah urgently. So he went into the well, you know, the well where people draw their water from in those days. So he went down in the bucket, put himself in the bucket, and he went down into the thing, and he couldn't have no way to get back up. So he was screaming and he was crying, come, help, 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 until the people had to reel him back up because he couldn't get back up. And that was in the second one. And then the third one was he was walking and he came to the realization that he had epis like shatness. So he ripped off a piece of his pants and he put it to compensate for like the shirt which had shatness. He thought it had shatness. So like that, he walked in the streets, you know, and he didn't care that he was embarrassed, like the Gemara says, that in the middle of the street, you know, you take off if you have shatness. He was Makayim that. He was Mamash Makayim that. So as a youngster, he earned that title called Aaron the Mishligana. So once the Beis Avram from Slonim was telling over this story, and one of the chassidim said, Rebbe, it's not so nice, you know, to say Aaron the Mishligana. You say such thing. He says, don't worry, Aaron the Mishligana was Shetevas Adam. Because he was an Adam Shlema. He was Mamash like, he was like, Azai Adam, like a real mensch. In his early years, before he was known to be a tzaddik, again, he only lived 36 years, so there was a tailor in town. Mm-hmm. The story here says he wasn't a tzaddik and he wasn't even a beinoni, you can imagine, you know. And he did whatever he wanted to do. That's the type of life that he lived. But he saw that this Aaron saw that he was a Yorei Shamayim. He was very impressed by him. And he saw that they had nothing. The family had mamish garnished. So he took some of his old clothes and he fixed it up a little bit and he gave it to Rav Aaron and the rest of the family as a matana. And Rav Aaron was very grateful for that. When this Yid passed away, so Rav Aaron heard about it. And again, he wasn't known yet who he was. And the Chevra Kedisha had already done a Tara and they were ready to bury him. But he ran quickly. As the mace was going into the ground to the cavern, he said, stop. And they said, what do you want? He says, I have to do the Tara myself. So he said, we did the Tara. I don't know, we do the Tara yourself. So he made a whole macha, and he took the body, he did the whole Tara himself, and he brought it back and he buried it together with the Chevra Kedisha. And after the body was buried, he took a stick and he made a circle around the kever. And he said that with that circle, he says, since this Yid, he spent his whole life doing Averis and so on, that he did me a taiva. So by drawing the circle around the mace, besides the Tara, which he did for him, which is a big taiva, can imagine, he was protecting the mace from the Chitzainim, from the Malachim, who wanted to harm him from all the Averis which he had done. But this created a huge tumult in Shammai, because the Malachim said, this belongs to us, this Yid. And now he has this ring of protection from a baron. It's not fair, it's not right. Shlok kfishur es adin. So the Beis and Shemala Paskin, that if a baron, again, he wasn't yet known, but he was still a baron in the heavens, he said, if a baron drew the circle, he's protected. But as a punishment for that, he's going to be in his gala. So from that, after that, he became famous. That was his punishment, that he would have to be well known. But he put himself on the line, he says, Yid did me a taiva, I have to do him a taiva back. We learned a lot of things from this story about taivas for tzaddikim and so on. It's Batan and Ksav, the Pinsk Karlin Rebbe, the previous one, he told over the story that there was a tzaddik from Stepin. That the first time he came to the Magid from Mezrich, into the Beis Medrash, he saw that there was a Yid who was davening mamash with the hislavas, and he was wearing tefillin der Rashid, tefillin der Benutam at the same time. And later on, he saw that was the Bardichever. And he was, you know, the Bardichever style davening. But in the corner, there was another Yid who, he says that his kishkas were coming out of his stomach when he was davening, and that was the Karlina. And he said that that day that he came to the Beis Medrash was Rosh Chodesh, and there were Machabin, a Baron Hagodol from Karlin, to lead the services for Masaf. And the minig was that the chazan has to wear a strimal for Musaf. And for some reason, there was no strimal to be found at the time. But this Yid from Stepin, he had a strimal. But it was a strimal which he had bought, he got maybe as a matana from a Yid who wasn't, you know, an elevated person. And every time he would put on the strimal, so it would cause him machshavos raos, because, you know, the person who wore it before was called machshavos raos. But he lent it to the Karliner. And after the davening, he turned to me and says, what's the deal with the strimal? So he said, oh, I got it from this Yid. I'm so sorry. I apologize for giving it to the Rebbe. The Rebbe said, don't worry about it. You're not going to have any problems with this anymore. Take it back and you're good to go. He said, keep it. You're great now. The Maggid. So The Balatanya once observed that the Maggid on Friday night, when he was looking into the fish pot for like a fish to take for the Suda on Friday night, so he was looking specifically for a certain one, and he pulled out a certain fish, and he had that fish. And he was wondering, like, what's the deal? What was he looking for? So he was in the kitchen, I think the next week on Erev Shabbos, and he saw that the Karliner, he went over to the pot a little beforehand, and he took like a gefilte fish, and he made it into the tzura of like a fish, and he put it into the pot. And he saw later that the Maggid was looking for that one. That he was looking for the one that the Karliner had put his hands on, and he made it into the form of a fish. He took that out. Balatani was very intrigued. So he came and he took a shirayim from that piece, and he said the shirayim from the hands of Baron Karliner lasted him for 20 years. Give him his lavas for 20 years. That's what he said. You know, they say that the reason why he was makar of so many people, he didn't, you know, he darshaned. He was a bal darshan. And he would go from city to city. He lived in Karlin. You know, Karlin is in Lita. It's in Lithuania. He was the first shliach of the Maggid in those towns, which was not Chassidish at all, but he was the first strike of Chassidus in those territories. He was Neman to the Mazrich, the Maggid from Mezrich, to do that. He says that what he would do is that he would go into cities and he would just plot himself somewhere and he would start to daven. And he said that all the Balei Tshuva which he made was because of his tefillos. People on the streets would pass by, they would hear him davening, and they would have a complete meltdown just to hear him davening. In fact, the Shomer Emunim, he said that he had such a heslavas, you know, he was known that when he said Baruch Sha'amar, Yochid Chei Ha'olamim, those words, the Tzaddikim said that when he said those words, there wouldn't be another Jew who would say the words like that till Mashiach came. The way that he said those words, Yochid Chei Ha'olamim, wasn't the way that he said it, it was the Emuna which he had in the Pacha when he said, Yochid Chei Ha'olamim. Nobody would say it like that. And he said that he said it with such a hislav and with such a kol rash that the shepherds in town, the Goyesha shepherds, when they heard him say that, it was their time to take out the animals to go feed and to graze and to drink water. That was like their simin, that the bracha was now in the world. You know, when he said those words, everything had rishus. If he felt that he had done an aveira, something wrong, so he would take his hand and he would stick it into the fire. And of course, nothing would happen to his hand. But he would say about himself, he says, look at you, Aaron, you're such a shafel that even the fire doesn't want to touch you. But he meant it. The Balatanya said about him, we had said that he was nisraf because of his emas aveira. The Balatanya said, he told one of his grandchildren, he said, your grandfather, Byron, he says, out of the shasa and ramach, ivarim begidim that a person has, he says that there's one bone. He says there's one bone which is underneath the lips. That if a person is in a moment of danger, that he feels like he might die, and he gets into that life is on the line type of a feeling. He says there's a certain gid on the mouth near the sasayim, near the lips, that it starts to tremble. He said, but by your grandfather, he said that type of a tenua only happens b'shas misa, when a person sees a malach amavis, or if he thinks that his life is in danger. He says, by your grandfather, I saw by him the moving of that aver, every single davening, which he davened, and 2 hours afterwards, every single day. Not so much of a pachad he had for the Rebbeinu Shalom. One of the more well-known stories of Rabban HaGadol was that once somebody was passing through town, he was coming back from the Maggid through the city of Karlin, and he decided he would go see the Rabban Karliner. So it was late at night, he saw the lights were on, so he knocked on the window, knocked on the door, and the Rabban said, who is it? And he said, it's me, because they were chaverim from the Beis Medrash of the Maggid. So didn't answer the door. He says, who is it? He said, it's me. So finally, after a couple of times, he knocked again. The rabbi answered the door, and he says, how come he didn't answer? He says, the only one who says me is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nobody else says me. Only our Ibishter says Anoichi. So So this Yid said, if that's the case, I haven't even begun to learn anything from the Maggid. So he went back to Mezrich. Went back to Mezrich right away when he heard from the Aaron Kohen. Nobody says me except the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Once there was a gzeira on the city, it says here in Bibedinas, Ukraine, that there was going to be a big shechita at the hands of the enemies of the Sinai Israel, and they came to Mezrich to ask the Magid what should be done, and he saw that there was a very heavy gzeira and nothing could be done, so he told them that they should take all their possessions and move it into the forest. And the Baron Kalina was in that town at the time, and they were coming into the shul and they were taking things out of the shul, Sefer Torah, Bima, everything they were taking out, because they said, the Maggid said. There was a certain menorah which was there. Oh, it seemed like it was the Beis Medrash of the Maggid, perhaps. That the Rabbi Aaron, he made based on certain donations which were given to him. Silver donations. He melted it, and he made a candelabra which had 36 kanim, 36 branches, which is the amount of years which he lived. He made that for the Maggid from Mezrich. And every Erev Shabbos, the Maggid would light this candelabra. And when they came to take this out of the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Aaron was standing there, and he said, this too? He said, no, this you don't take. So word got back to the Maggid that Rabbi Aaron Karliner had said not to move the candelabra. So he said, take everything from the forest and bring it into the Beis Medrash. And so Aaron heard about this, that it was as if, like, in his chus, like, there was going to be a big hatsala, and he said, Rebbe, no, it's don't do it. So the Maggid said, no, everybody bring everything back to the Beis Medrash. Everything, all of your possessions, everything to the Beis Medrash. So Aaron, he had no choice. He says, when the enemies were approaching the Beis Medrash, so he went out of the Beis Medrash, and he cried out, Barash Gadol, like a lion. He says, Lama Rag Shugoyim, like, you know, like the second capital in Tehillim. What are you going? You're making a big fuss over here. And he said they had such a pacha, they all started running when he said that. Many stories about his davening, we said before. Pashtut people, big Rishayim, they just heard him daven, and everybody was nascarif through his tefillas. There was a certain yid, he was a Baal Tshuva, and he dealt with big Rishayim. That he was inspired by Rabbi Aaron HaGadol, and he asked the Rebbe, what can I do to do tshuva? He made a lot of mamzerim, big averus. So Rabbi Aaron said, I don't see any tikkun for you other than that we should shecht you. So he said, okay, so if that's what the Rebbe says. So he lied himself down, and the Rebbe came with a knife. Before he put it on his throat, he turned it over to the back side, and he went like this. So it wasn't the actual blade, it was the back of the blade. And the Rebbe said to him, Sar avaynecha v'chatascha tuchufa, you're good to go. The fact that he was really, to put, like the Akedah, he made an Akedah out of him. We saw that the fact that he was machni himself to the Rebbe, he was ready to be geshechted for his, you know, for his kapara, but he didn't need it. Obviously, he wouldn't shecht it. A beautiful ma'isa that once a woman came with ears streaming down her cheeks, and she said that she has a daughter who's been engaged for a year and she can't come up with the money for the nidonya, for the husband to be, and the shidduch, the chassan said it had to be broken off. It's already been a year, they can't come up with the money. So Aaron quickly, he said, what is it that you need? I'll give it to you. She said an amount. He went into his drawer and he took out the money. A couple weeks later, she says, Rebbe, we're preparing the chasana, and she was crying again. She says, I don't have a gown for my daughter. I don't have a gown. So he paused and he says, how much is it going to cost? She says, oh, it's going to cost that. So he says, he went to his drawer, he went, took it out, and gave it to the woman. So afterwards, the Rebbetzin came in, and she says, Aaron, she says, how could you do such a thing? Says, this woman was here just 2 weeks ago, and you gave her a ton of money, and now she needs a gown? She says, let it be included in the first amount. How can she even have the chutzpah to come back and to ask for money for the gown? So he said, you know what? I had the same question. And I thought to myself, you know, I could use this money for poor people. Then I said to myself, wait a second, is this my Yitzhahara or is this my Yitzhahara? He says, it's got to be the Yitzhahara. Because if it was really the Yitzhahara, I would have thought about giving the money to Aniyim earlier. Once I determined that it was from the Yetzer Hara, I bedafka went and I gave her the money. And I said to myself, how can I allow the Kala to come to the Chuppah embarrassed like that? He thought about that question and he says, it's my Yetzer Hara telling me not to. Bedafka to crush it, he went ahead and he gave the money to her. One of the well-known stories, I heard about this story many, many years ago, I'm sure you heard it, but there was once a chassid who came and he was observing the tzaddik as he was eating, or baron, and he said to him, he says, what's the difference between me and you? He says, you eat and I, you make brachas and you eat and I make brachas and eat. So what's the difference between me and you? He says, the difference between me and you is this. On my way here, I was looking at all of Hashem's creations and I stopped and I looked at the tree and I said to myself, wow, marabu masach Hashem. I wanted to just blurt out a bracha and to say bracha tashem b'yipir eitz, but I just can't make a bracha levatola. So I have to wait till I come on and eat an apple to make a bracha. But by you look at the tree and you're like looking at the apples and you're like, this one is a little too red, this one is a little green, this one is a little spoiled, and you can't wait till you come to find a good apple to make a bracha on. So the difference is that when I make a bracha, I only make a bracha to eat the apple because I want to make the bracha. But by you want to eat the apple, so you make a bracha to eat the apple. And that's the difference between me and you. That's a very big difference. Pesach approaching, as Yotzei is on Pesach. Once a chassid came to him, and Rabbi Aaron saw that he shouldn't be here for Pesach. He said, no, Rabbi, I came to be by your Seder. He says, no, you got to go home. Go home right away. He says, you should be back already. So the chassid had no choice. He went back. He was sitting with his family at the end of the Seder. And he opened up the door for Shvei Chamascha to welcome in Eliyahu Navi. All of a sudden, a group of bandits came in. They tied him up. And they were going to kill him and his whole family. So all of a sudden, a balagala comes running in. And he says, what's going on in here? And he sees that there were these bad guys. And he starts to beat them up and drive them out of the house. And he saved them. So he says that all of a sudden, he looked like a knight. He calls him a knight in the story. He says that he took a cup from the shulchan and from the table, and he drank the cup, and then he went away. So when this chassid came to Rabbi Aaron HaGadol, so he said to him, so what do you have to say about that? He says, by you he came and he drank an entire kos. By me, all he did is that he came and he looked, and that was it. So he said, of course, it was Eliyahu Navi. But the Rebbe saw from the beginning that he had to be there with his family in order to protect them, etc. He saw what was going to happen. But he already was in negotiations with Eliyahu Navi that, you know, imagine Shev Chamasi expecting Eliyahu, and all of a sudden these bandits come in. But Eliyahu came in, and he needed to come. But Rabbi Lagon, he saw Baruch HaKadosh what would happen, and he sent Eliyahu to come and to take care of the matzah. Motzei Shabbos, we mentioned Eliyahu Navi, and it was customary that when Rabbi Aaron and his son Rabbi Asher, he was only, I think, 9 years old when his father passed away. He grew up to be the next Rebbe. He says they had an inyan that on Motzei Shabbos, when they were singing the Pizmoim of Eliyahu Navi, they would stick both their hands under the table and they would shake hands at the time that they would say Eliyahu Navi. Apparently, he wanted, Rabbi Aaron was like a hislapshos of Eliyahu Navi, and he wanted to give as a matana this inyan to his son Rabbi Asher. So they would stick their hands under the table, nobody would see, but some saw. But they would shake hands and he would give him over the sinyan of Eliyahu Navi, which he was in Slavish in the Motzei Shabbos. So once there was a woman that was struggling to have children. So she came to Aaron for a bracha. And he said, I'm going to go to the mikvah, and if you want to do me a toiva, so you can bring a towel and a cup of water so I can wash my hands after the mikvah. So she thought that, you know, Rabbi was going to the mikvah, it was going to be a while. Turns out, he came out very quickly, and there was another lady there that she saw the Rabbi came out and had heard what he had said to this lady. So she went ahead, and she brought, you know, the towel and the cup, and he washed his hands. And she had a child that year, the second lady. The one who prepared it had it, but the first lady, she came and she says, you missed out. She didn't give the proper attention. And the second lady was zeichet to the bracha, even though it didn't tell her that she would have the bracha. you know, the Maggid, we said this when we talked about the Maggid, that the Maggid was once, it was Sudas Leil Shabbos, it was very late, and he went to go to sleep, and he kept trying to fall asleep and waking up, and he found out that Rabbi Aaron was in town. He was saying Shir Hashirim, and he was creating such an upheaval in the heavens with the Shir Hashirim, the Maggid couldn't sleep because of the Rash. So he told him to tell Rabbi Aaron to stop saying Shir Hashirim so that he could fall asleep. What you see from here is that the sleep of the Maggid is more important than the Shir Hashirim of Rabbi Aaron. Of course, he was Mechaber Efsleit. How did that happen? He was once sitting Friday night at the Tish, and the Maggid said to Rabbi Aaron, he said, "Nu, zog, sing, zing." And he said, right out of his mouth came Koyachsev. Just like that. I'm not sure if it was Rabbi Aaron Agadol's Chiddush or it was the Maggid's Chiddush. But you know that Koyachsev is four stanzas. It begins Yud Ke Vav Ke. The next words spell Aaron. And then the third words of each stanza spell Neshama. So Havaya, Aaron, and Neshama. As Mechaber that Nigin. Tzadikim said that even in his lifetime, he was Mechaber 80,000 people to Tshuva. But even with his Nigin, which continues, those who hear the Nigin, the words and the Nigin, that continues to inspire into being Bali Tshuva. So even after his death, he continues to being Bali Tshuva. And before he died, he told the Mishpacha that one of the things that he wanted after he dies is that they should take his body and roll it all on the ground. Roll it all over the ground. And they didn't know what to do. It's Mechaim, it's the words of the Tzadik you have to do. So his son, Reb Asher, was only 9 years old. He says, Tata was a tzaddik. So he says, because he didn't think he was a tzaddik, so he thought you can roll him on the ground. But we know he's a tzaddik. And because of that, we can't. He's Kodesh Kodesh, and we can't touch his back. Only 36 years old. This is Ryan Agadov from Kalin. This is Chusa Yagalina about Kaisalim.